Look up there in the sky. It's a bird, a plane. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour.
Those boys are so handsome.
One writer,
one artist,
and one weekly discussion of comics and nerd culture. I'm your smelly host, Robbie Dorman, literature geek and writer. I read it, and I still did it.
Hell yeah. I'm your other host, Eric Z. Goodnight, professional artist and illustration nerd.
We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, your home for news, reviews, slightly antagonistic banter, much, much more.
I totally didn't think you were actually going to read off of it. A little bit of sabotage there for you.
Yeah, I know. I saw it. I just went with it. You know, I'm a sport. I'm a little smelly. It's okay.
It's okay. You have the day off. You don't have to bathe.
I have the weekend.
When you don't leave. Oh, well, fuck you then. Some of us are going to work tomorrow.
Happy New Year. We're recording on New Year's Day.
Yep. That we are.
2015 is here, and we are as close to 2030 as we are to 2000.
Where's my hoverboard?
Yes, I know.
They don't work on water, Robbie.
Back to the Future 2 is...
So don't go take a bath and use your hoverboard.
Is that like a toaster? Will it kill me if I try and do that?
I probably.
Okay. But we're here. We're smelly. We're talking about comics.
Mm-hmm. This is all very stereotypical so far.
Yeah. We have taken a week off. We are back. Glad to return. Glad to chat. We are here with our Handsome Boys Handies Awards ceremony tonight. Today, whenever you're listening to this, honoring the best of 2014 and the worst.
Definitely some of the worst.
Definitely some of the worst and some of the best. Both. We cover the highs and the lows.
Mm-hmm.
Just like everything else in this podcast. We got a lot to talk about. We got Christmas to talk about. We can talk about Christmas.
Yep.
And first of all, it's time. We missed out last week.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's the return of the floppies, part of your week and mine. It's time for Weekly Floppies. Weekly Floppies is a part of the show where I make Eric laugh because I mispronounce things funny. Where Eric and I talk about this week's books and last week's books in this case and tell you to buy or do not buy them. Yeah, there's like three comic books came out this week. So, it's mostly last week. There's one comic from this week and, but most of them are from last week. So there were some interesting ones that came out last week. So I don't mind reading them and talking about them.
Well, we do read and talk about comics, don't we?
But first of all, first up, we're going to go to our Marvel books. Our only book that we're reading that came out this week. It is S.H.I.E.L.D. number one, written by Mark Waid. I think the credits page is 45 pages into this. Carlos Pacheco on pencils, Mariano Tybo with Jason Paz on inks, Dono Amara, colors, Joe Caramagna, letters. This is sort of a spinoff of the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. It has some of the characters from it. It is definitely more concerned with superheroes, like the big guns, than the show is, which has a lower budget, so must resort to not having the Hulk destroy buildings, etc., etc. I like this a lot more than I expected to.
This wasn't even on my radar at all, and I thought it was a blast.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's, it's like, you do not have to follow the show to understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen the Avengers, Phil Coulson is basically the main character in this, as he is in the show. But if you've seen any of the Marvel movies, you know Phil Coulson. He is leading his team along with, you know, various superheroes dealing with Asgardian stuff. This is sort of a one-shot adventure, a little story to kind of set the pace for the book, while also kind of setting the table for future stories. And it's a lot of fun. It's Mark Waid, so yeah. He knows how to write a good superhero story.
He does well, I would say, with huge ensembles, which this has.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in it, but you never feel like, it never overwhelms you.
Yeah, it's handled really well, and that's a very difficult thing to do, I think. I love how Agent Coulson's superpower is being a huge comic book nerd.
I know, and that that's Mark Waid's superpower too. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's part of the reason this is works really well. The art's really nice. I really enjoy it.
I don't think it's anything necessarily to write home about. I mean, it is.
It's comic booky.
It's default Marvel style. Honestly, it's a little vanilla. It's not bad. It's just not really overwhelming me with any sort of top tier illustration. It doesn't have enough flavor to it, I'd say. I don't know. Just leaves me a little cold. Not awful.
I particularly like the whenever they have a big page, one panel thing. It seems like there's particular attention has been paid to those. Like the page 21. Mm-hmm. It's a double page. The giant serpent things and all the stuff happening looks really cool. The kind of the other pages don't look as great, I think, and that brings it down. But no, I was not expecting to like this issue. I was expecting it to be, I don't know, a feeble attempt at
a cash grab.
Yeah, like, hey, you know this people and this Phil Coulson, but I really like it. I may continue reading this.
It's well worth it. It's the things that you like about Marvel.
Yes.
All done pretty fairly well.
And it doesn't hurt that the next issue looks like it's going to have Ms. Marvel in it as the main centerpiece, so.
Yes, be still my beating heart.
But I'm a buy. Shield number one.
Yeah, you're an idiot if you don't buy this.
Ooh, you're an idiot.
Yes. I'm coming out and saying it.
All right.
You, Robbie, are a smelly idiot if you don't buy it.
Well, I already have.
Okay, so you're not.
I'm just smelly. Okay, yeah. That's fine. So double buy, Shield number one. Next up, New Avengers number 28. Written by Jonathan Hickman. Cast of about 5,000 different characters. Art, Mike Diodato and Mike Perkins. Colors, Frank Martin. Letters, Joe Caramagna. Again. You hear those noises?
Yeah.
That's me attempting to explain this book.
I don't think it's humanly possible. Like, I think that, like, this book was written by, like, some sort of sentient computer virus. I don't know what the hell's going on. I enjoy it. Like, it doesn't help that the storyline was incredibly convoluted before we jumped weeks, months into the future and start working backwards to figure out what the hell's going on. I mean, I could have barely pieced together what was going on before the time jump. And now that we're working with that as part of the story and there's huge chunks missing, I don't have a clue what's going on, but I still think the book is an enjoyable read.
I don't know if I read New Avengers 27.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was really interesting, really cool. I could follow everything happening. I missed one issue of Avengers, I think. Maybe two. Seems like only one. Because I know we just read one, but they come out so frequently it's hard to sell. But I know there's clashing between S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers, and there's two Hulks, and the Invisible Woman's now on the Avengers team.
That was revealed one of the last books that we read together.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm
she
like...
She was secretly still with Reed.
But revealed to Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
Old man Steve.
Mr. Rogers.
I don't know. I don't know if I enjoy this. Steve is not very cuddly as an old man. Like, he's very cutthroat. And maybe what has happened in the intervening time that is...
It's made him grouchy.
Made him very grouchy and like, oh, we'll just drop people out of... I'm okay with maybe accidentally killing people. You know, dropping people off of helicarriers and stuff. I don't... Mm-hmm.
It's more of a Nick Fury move, you think?
Yeah, it feels like this is Nick Fury and now it's just... Instead of Steve Rogers.
It's entirely possible that it was an editorial decision to insert Steve Rogers in the role of Nick Fury, just simply because they need to reinforce him as whatever he is now and have, you know, Falcon be the new Captain America. I don't know. It just feels like part of that move.
Yeah, I don't know. It bothered me that I read the previous issue to this, and I still didn't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not buy, for the first time.
Wow, really?
Understanding the plot is kind of important, and it's had me every time, but this one, I just don't see what's happening that's so important. Like, I feel like I'm supposed to care about this more than I do.
Admittedly, I have no emotional, there's no emotional resonance for me either.
Okay.
But I have not been able to follow a single bit of this whole event. I don't know what the hell's going on.
I mean,
cool stuff is happening and, you know, something happens there and like, oh, I guess I should feel something about that. I don't get it. I mean, I don't particularly know if I'm a do not buy on it.
Okay.
You know, because I am enjoying it, I just can't tell you why. And it could be that I would have to get to the end of this incredibly huge arc to understand it and go back. So I don't know.
It's the new Avengers stories have generally been much more smaller stories mm-hmm. to their Avengers counterpart. And yet this one is gone away from that. Maybe that's my problem with it. I don't know. But I mean, the art's fine. I do not like the fact that they had Deodato and Perkins. I can tell the difference between them, and I don't really like the changing. But whatever. That's not my main complaint with it. The art is. I like Deodato, even though I am getting a lot of Original Sin flashbacks from this. But No, thank you. Are you a buyer or you do not buy?
I'm a buy, but to be honest, you're mushing me up some.
It's my I'm a bad influence.
You are. You're making me feel bad about liking it and not understanding what the hell's going on. I shouldn't recommend it to people.
It's your call.
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy it.
Well, then
I would have to stick with it for a while to know what the hell's going on because it's so big.
So a buy with mush meter.
Oh man, but 3.5.
3.5? Okay, 3.5. Mm-hmm. We're breaking it down to decimal places.
Yep. Well, I can go solid 4 then.
Okay, 4.
We did an average last time.
We did.
So we shouldn't, I don't know. 3 point pie.
So we're a split decision on New Avengers number 28. Next up, I know Eric's been really looking forward to this comic. I made sure that we got to read it. Robin Rises Alpha number 1, written by Peter J. Tomasi, pencils by Andy Kubert, Jonathan Glapion and Andy Kubert doing inks, Brad Anderson on colors, Desi Siente doing letters.
I am angry at you for making me read this.
Good.
This book is terrible. It is not as bad as Robin Rises Omega.
No, it is not as bad as that.
But it is, I don't know. If you don't want to think when you read a comic book, if you're not a thinky person, if you just like to watch people yell and punch,
mm-hmm.
this is a great book for you. However, if your brain works and you like to read things, this is not a book that you should pick up.
Because... You know my favorite panel, Eric?
What is it?
It's page 14 on the bottom panel. Takes up about half the page. It has the Red Hood, Batgirl. Is that Dick Grayson in a Robin costume?
They're all three in Robin costumes.
Yes, and then an Alfred, Batman, and the recently resurrected Damian, all holding gigantic guns, pointing at this portal where Darkseid's son comes out, apparently. And yes, hey guys, Damian's back. I mean, as much as I didn't really enjoy Grant Morrison's the climax, the ending of his run with Damian dying, at least he pulled the trigger and said, Damien's dead.
Yeah.
As soon as he's gone, let's take a year of nonsense and then bring him back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And give him superpowers.
Yeah, because that's awesome. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
This is so stupid. Eric's right. This is the worst. It's really bad.
Dumbest fucking thing ever. Is this the same Batgirl that's in... the Batgirl that we're reading, because this is nothing like her. I swear to God, it just makes me sick to see this.
It makes this doesn't make any kind of sense in context of, I don't know. It's just so, this whole comic book doesn't make sense with Batman.
Well, it doesn't make sense because do you remember the book leading up to this with Ra's al Ghul? Like, mm-hmm. trying to steal the body.
Yeah.
And Batman's like, no, we can't bring him back to life. That'd be terrible. And then immediately after, Batman's like, I'm going to bring Robin back to life. For reasons.
Yeah, it's not... there's no in-character reason for this to happen.
No.
Strictly, we want Damian back. We want to give him a Robin that's not any of the old Robins. And we don't want to make a new Robin. And we don't just want to have Batman by himself. Because we have a book called Batman and Robin. And Damian's back and now he's Superboy.
Mm-hmm.
It's nonsense.
I like how he reveals, he's like, hey, Dad, I have powers. That's the statement that he says. Hey, Dad, I have powers.
Okay, do not buy. We've spent enough time on this bad book.
I want to vomit on it. It's awful.
It's bad. It's double do worst. Not buy. Robin Rises off of number one. Firm agreement.
No mush there.
No mush.
Zero.
Next up is Adventure Time. Number 35, the last issue of Ryan North, Braden Lamb, and Shelley Paroline's run. 3-year run on Adventure Time. Letters by Steve Wands. Delightful book.
Mm-hmm.
Fun story. It's like a fake mystery about LSP losing her star. You can describe a lot of these issues where they're just, you know, little one-shot fun adventure stories told with the Adventure Time cast, written very well. Art is Adventure Timey.
It's they've always really been able to capture. I mean, they put together good talent on these books.
Yes, they do.
There's been a lot of different Adventure Time books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little side projects and little pocket manga books, and I mean, they've been consistently pumping this stuff out, and it's all pretty uniform in like quality. It's all very good, like surprisingly so. And this, I mean, it captures the energy and the humor of the show really well.
Yeah, it really does. And it has, we haven't read a bunch of just Adventure Time comic. I think we read one or two other issues in its run, but it's great.
Yeah.
I've read a substantial portion of it. It's very, very, very good.
I was going to say, I regret that I don't own more of these. I bought one for my nephew for Christmas. And as I was showing it to him, I'm like, I kind of don't want to give this to you anymore. I kind of want to just keep it.
I'm probably going to get, I imagine they're going to release a giant hardcover of their entire thing or an omnibus or some kind of thing. I will probably be purchasing that.
The one that I gave him, I mean, it had artwork by Sanford Green, Paul Pope, all kinds of awesome people. I remember flipping through it and showing him. It still hurts me that I need my own copy.
Yeah, it's I picked this just because this entire run has been great.
Yeah,
Boom, like Eric has just said, is or Kaboom, regardless, either way, is great at picking talent to do these. This book and all the spinoff and OGN books as well. They grab people who are work on webcomics and or indie artists. Like they can pinpoint these people who know how to write a fun story that fits really well in this universe. I'm a buy on this. I'm a buy on the entirety of Adventure Time. If you haven't been reading this, this is, you could literally give this book to anyone and they could enjoy it. It is the best example of an all ages book.
Mm-hmm.
You could give it to someone who's 55 or 7. It works. It's a great comic. Bye.
Good God, yes.
Yeah. Double bye. Adventure Time number 35. Buy all of them. And they'll be releasing all kinds of collections, I'm sure. They already are worth. I know they have several hardcovers out already. I don't know what their plans are. They're pretty good about releasing them pretty quickly, too. Kaboom is. Lastly, we are doing Capture Creatures number 2. Written by Frank Gibson, illustrated by Becky Drystadt, inks Kelly Bastow, colors Tracy Lang, letters Britt Wilson. Also by Kaboom Comics. I had read number 1. I had talked about it briefly on an episode, and I had, you know, I had suggested Harley to Eric, and I was like, well, let's just read number 2 and see what we think about it. This is a very cute comic.
It's adorable. The artwork is superlative. At being adorable, I guess.
Yeah, it's very, very, very cute. And
superladorable.
And
there
charming.
There we go.
Superladorable.
Yes.
I can't disagree. It's kind of like a Pokemon book.
It's
a little cuter than Pokemon, I guess.
Yeah, it's got the Pokemans in it.
Even though it does have like a vicious monster in it, sort of a vicious guy, but then we get, it's cute Pokemon adventure kind of, but with not Pokemon creatures, new creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I love that one of those little guys licks the guy's face and he says, it's like wet leaves.
Yes.
That's brilliant. Love it.
I didn't know that, like, we're considering Pokemon like public domain enough to just blatantly rip it off.
Well, it's almost, it's sort of a genre now. It's actually, it's been around so long, it's not even, like, it's past just being a genre, I guess. I don't even know.
It's certainly well established. I mean, hell, I was playing, 1998? I was playing the Game Boy game.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around. There's certainly been a lot of other people knocking it off, but I just think that it's fascinating that this book, there's no bones about it. This is like, I'm going to rip off Pokemon. I'm going to make up my own fake Pokemon, and it manages to be really good.
Yeah. Has there ever been a Pokemon comic to your knowledge?
Oh yeah. I was, okay. Hell, I was reading it, but there was reading one back in high school.
Really? Okay.
Absolutely. It was, written and drawn by Toshiro Ono. I remember that right off the top of my head.
Wow. I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go. I have a feeling this is more like being the, Pokemon as an idea is like, yes, there are Pokemon around.
It's cockfighting for kids.
Yeah. And this is more like, look at why are they are here. We
yeah.
heretofore never known about them. Let's, what is the deal?
It's a lot more sensible world than the world of Pokemon, which is kind of horrible. You know, let's enslave little animals, make them fight to the death, just because everyone should do it. I mean, you're 11 years old. Start enslaving animals and making them fight to death.
It's time.
Embrace your destiny.
No, I would definitely recommend Capture Creatures number 2. It's cute. Superladorable.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. It's definitely, it's another one of those all ages books. You can definitely give to pretty much anybody, and as long as they don't mind cute creatures.
I actually bought this last week before you.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. No, nice. I bought it. I don't know if I was shopping on Wednesday or not, but I've spent a long part of my Christmas break trying to make my tablet do things, which I will tell you all about shortly.
I was about to say, I think that's a good segue.
Yep, it sure is.
Well, double buy, Capture Creatures number 2. That'll do it for weekly floppies.
Sure will.
Next up, time for checking in.
Woo!
Yeah, be authoritative about that. We are here and we are talking about things.
That's true.
Checking in as part of the show, Eric and I talk about what we've been up to for the past 2 weeks now. Because we took a week off for Christmas. I have been playing Dragon Age.
And that's it.
Dragon Age Inquisition. I've been playing Dragon Age pretty much, aside from looking at our award show nominees. I've been playing Dragon Age. I killed my first dragon today.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Did you kill Flemeth?
No.
Is she in this game?
No.
Okay. That's probably good.
It's the third in the series of, it's a BioWare game, first and foremost. It's pretty much like, yes, if you like BioWare games, you'll like this one.
Mm-hmm.
It has all those really interesting characters and really fun kind of ethical dilemmas that it puts your character in and makes you kind of decide what they are and who they are. It's gorgeous. It's a very beautiful looking game. There's a lot of stuff there. I could play this game for a long time. And probably will. My biggest problem with it is the combat, which is usually the weakest part of any BioWare game anyway. But it's not bad. It's just, you know, I think it could be better. I think they try and do too many things with it. They made it very kind of MMO-ish, where you're just watching cooldowns and stuff, and like you fight for a while and then do an ability, and then wait till it comes back, and then do it again.
That was a very big part of the way Dragon Age Origins played.
Yeah.
You were just like, it was sort of in between an MMO and an RTS, where you have this part, you're just tasking them, go over here, whack this guy, or repeatedly whack this guy, and then use an herb and cast a spell. I mean, it was just that, and jumping back and forth from people, and it looked similar to that, which I don't know, but you're saying it is fairly similar?
Yeah, it's not. They try and bridge the gap between, like, a very tactical game. Like, they want to try and be like XCOM for some reason, or Final Fantasy Tactics even, with, like, a overhead view of combat where you... I almost never use that because I don't really need to. I guess and it's not very well constructed. It's difficult to use that well. But it's not, again, that's not why I'm playing this game. I'm playing this game to make a fun character and mess around with all the characters that BioWare has populated the game with, which are, some are very, very interesting. Some of them are holdovers from games of one of Origins and two.
It is New Year's.
It is New Year's. Yeah, that's true. You do collect booze in this game. It's one of the collectibles.
Good. It's a, just, we're drinking and having bisexual sex. That's what this game is about.
Yeah. Sort of. So a part
Hot
of it
damn.
Is.
Damn.
Yep. But, this, I mean, I put 40 hours into this game and I'm going to put many, many more into it. It's a hard, despite any kind of problems I have with it, it's great. It's really fun. Go buy it. Other thing I briefly want to just touch on is, here, you can look at it if you want to look at it through my, at your camera.
I am seeing it.
Yeah.
That's pretty special. That's right. Son of the Sun and what else?
Son of the Sun and Return to Plain Awful.
Hmm. I have a copy of Son of the Sun. It's not that edition.
Yeah, this just was released. I think 3 and 4 are coming soon this year. But for Christmas, I got Uncle Scrooge and Donald Duck, The Donruss Library, Volumes 1 and 2, in a very nice slipcover, very nice hardcover edition. Mm. The books themselves are absolutely yep. gorgeous.
They look incredibly well made.
Yeah, it's Fantagraphics.
They
do great work.
It figures that that's a really good home for it, too. Fantagraphics, they do a lot of the very esoteric stuff. That is really, really nicely put together, really well made. It's nicely printed, very clean looking, too.
It's really good. And for the price on Amazon right now,
mm-hmm.
As soon as 3 and 4 are available, I will be purchasing them. I won't be owning all of these. They are unbelievable. They're so beautiful. I would definitely recommend picking them up.
Mm.
It's
been quite a long time since we've read Life and Times. I can't believe I hooked you so well.
Yeah. I might be reading those tomorrow. I might be sitting down, carving some time away from Dragon Age. reading some Uncle Scrooge comics.
There you go. Old Scrooge.
Eric, you've got quite a list of things.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and brush past as quick as I can. This is not really quite as beefy a list as it is, but
mm-hmm.
the long and short of it is Linux Saved Christmas.
Is that your children's book?
I hope so.
Okay.
It'll be a very dull book that, you know, involves a lot of discussion. Other which is better, Vim or Emacs? In case you're wondering, Emacs. Yeah, I can't believe that's a thing. Did you know that?
No,
that's an argument that people get into. Vim or Emacs? That will set people off. People will just get physically violent. It's like. It's like Auburn, Alabama. It's that passionate.
Has someone poisoned a tree?
No one has poisoned any Vim trees. I don't know. But, no, spent a lot of my break trying to, using what little Unix knowledge I have to make my tablet work better. My Android tablet. And I'm very happy to say with a couple of different programs, I rooted it. Do you know what I'm talking about, rooted? It's kind of like, it's a little bit like jailbreaking on an iOS app.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
But it just sort of allows you, like administrator privileges to do different things. And what it allowed me to do is move like my Comixology, my Comixology library over to an SD card. So instead of having like 3 gigs of space for comic books, I can now, like, every book that I've bought on Comixology over the past 2 years, I now have on this little cheap tablet that my parents basically got for free at, you know, the Verizon store and then gave to me because they don't know how to use it. but, you know, in that vein, gosh, I found a really fun app called Comic Rack. If you were using an Android device, I would recommend it to you, Robbie.
Okay.
But it's basically the Android version of Comic Zeal. It's very nice looking. It looks a lot like Plex.
Okay.
It's a very handsome app. but using a combination of it and a program called Folder Mount, you know, with that root app that was able to have an SD card library for it as well. And I'm currently reading one of my favorite all-time books, Battle Angel, which I have owned every book at one point in time, and some of them disappeared. I don't know how that happens. It's just moving. Some of my books are gone now. It's really sad.
Things vanish.
They're very rare too. Like, they're out of print. The original Battle Angel, and I'm gonna have to reclaim them on eBay or something.
Didn't we see them? Didn't someone have like a giant, like all of them at SuperCon for like $150 or something like that?
If they did, I would have jumped on it. I mean, there's only nine of them, so $150 is not particularly. It was probably Last Order, which is the same artist, but I don't think it's as good. He's probably like working with a lot of assistants or something. And Battle Angel was done back when he was very young and poor and hungry and was working harder than any one person should probably ever have to work. And it is possibly the most beautiful comic book I can think of. It is like, it gets me excited about art when I read his books. It's amazing. I've already read like six of the nine trades or something. I'm as soon as we hang up, I'm going to go read it. It excites the crap out of me. And, just by way of that, there's one more book I want to recommend that I picked up over my Christmas break. It was based on a Jonathan Coulton song, or many songs actually, called Code Monkey Save World.
It's with Greg Pak?
Yeah, Greg Pak wrote it, and it's pretty good. It's very well drawn. It was an artist he had worked with before, a Canadian-Japanese artist.
Oh.
I cannot remember the guy's name, but he's very, very talented. I enjoyed the hell out of it, and it was really obviously the Jonathan Coulton connection drew me in, but it was mostly this artist's, skill that drew me in. It feels very modern anime, but also kind of retro, you know, like the 90s golden age of anime. It's got that influence to it, but it's a very nice looking comic. Only four issues. They're like $2 each. It was a real no-brainer.
Takeshi Miyazawa.
Yes.
But Jonathan Coulton and Greg Pak were roommates in college.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Hence their team.
Yep. Well, it's a good one. It's not a shitty cash grab. It's actually very good. I like it a lot.
Have to check it out.
That's enough talking about comics and Linux for me. Oh wait, not comics, because that never stops.
No, it can't stop that.
No.
So I think we're checked in. When you spend 40 hours doing one thing, not gonna be a bunch of stuff to talk about.
Nah.
I think it's time. Dun, da, da, da.
Why, yes, Robbie, it's time for the second annual Handsome Boys Comics Hour Handies Awards. Cue applause here.
Yeah. All the famous people are here tonight. All the big names. Got Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Am I supposed to... California.
Hey, and Macho Man's here.
Ooh, yeah, I'm big looking forward to see who's going to win Book of the Year. Ooh, yeah.
Hey, thank you, Macho. Thank you very much. I think Alan Moore is here. He's an honored guest, obviously.
Do you think they're going to serve oatmeal?
I don't know, Alan. We'll have to check it out later. The original artist, he's going to go sit down next to Arnold. They're buddies, I think.
Nah!
Is
This is clearly the most embarrassing thing we've ever done.
Yeah, we're dumb. But, yeah, this is our year of the end, end of the year, year of the end, end of the year award show, awarding what we think the best and worst of comics for the year. Big caveat on a lot of this is only stuff we've read. May, if you do, I don't know if you guys realize this, there's a lot of comic books come out every year. We don't read them all. And some of the categories come with that caveat, obviously. Yep.
It's not for lack of trying, though, right?
No, we do read a ton of comics.
Jesus
but
Christ, yes.
We can't read them all, but we will tell you the best of what we've read. We'll see if Alan Moore or Arnold or Macho Man comes back to comment in any of these categories later on. Maybe other special guests will be appearing. Surely, yeah. First up.
Well, first up, Robbie, we're starting off with a big bang. It's Nerd Boy, Book of the Year.
So these are of what we read for Nerd Boy Book Club this year. Our pick, our favorite. A lot of these, some came out this year, some came out quite some time ago.
Yep.
So it's what we thought was the best of what we read. Nominees, got a good handful of them. I picked out a few. Eric picked out a few. Planetary Fatale, Black Sad, Nick Fury Max, Orcstain, Astonishing X-Men, Seconds, Seconds by Brian Lee O'Malley, Andre the Giant by Box Brown, Rise of a War West, and Jonathan Hickman's Fantastic Four.
All of these were amazing.
Yeah.
These were all superlative. We read a lot of superlative books.
Yes, we did.
But these were just standout books. I mean, Seconds, you know, the follow-up to the follow-up work by Brian Lee O'Malley, author of Scott Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm.
It really just established for me, even though he's kind of a huge douchebag, that he is a top tier talent in the comic book world. I could not have been happier to read that and see that he's still doing excellent work.
Give me your top two. Give me your top two.
I know what my top book of the year is.
Okay.
And it's at the top of the list. It's Planetary by Warren Ellis. It is tough for me. Like, I just will just see it sitting and just start reading it. And before I know it, I've read all of the books again. Planetary is, I think you even said it, it's, the way you described it is, it's your favorite thing by your favorite comic book writer.
Yeah.
It's tremendous. I mean, obviously did not come out recently, but since we've read it this year, yeah, that's far and away. It is the pinnacle of a very good list. I'd say my number two slot is actually a lot tougher to fill.
Really?
Yeah. Because it would probably be, I'd say it would be Aurora West just barely nudging out like Orcstain and maybe Black Sad.
Hmm.
Possibly Fatale just past that. But it's hard to pick. Like, these are all amazing books.
Yeah, I have to actually, Planetary. Yeah, mm-hmm. Mine. I love Planetary. It's like Eric, you just said it.
Yeah.
My favorite thing from my favorite writer, John Cassaday on art.
Some of my favorite Cassaday art. There is another Cassaday
book
in
on
this
list.
Yeah.
Astonishing
X-Men, which is certainly excellent, but I don't know, just something about this world that he's created in Planetary. It's so rich and vibrant. The characters are just amazing and well written, and it's shocking it works as well as it does. It's just so interesting. Like, I would have never thought that this book would exist, and it's amazing.
It does so many things mm-hmm. with its universe. tells, it goes through all these stories that you are familiar with, just tilts your view at them, changes mm-hmm. your perspective, and really, it does it amazingly well. My runner up, I would say probably Fatale, followed by Blacksad.
That's why they're in that order.
No, I guess so. I didn't consciously do that. I was just looking. I pulled up our iTunes and just went from after last year's award show and just kind of went through them. I went no, include that one. No, or I don't know. But those are my top three. Even though I do want to give a shout out to Nick Fury Max, because I think of all these, that's the one that surprised me the most. I was not expecting to like it so much.
It's a Garth Ennis book, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, Goran Parlov.
Yeah, what a great book that was too.
Yeah, I all these other books I either had read before or expected to be good.
Had you read Andre the Giant before we read it?
I had, yes.
Okay, I had not.
It's also a very good book.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All these, I mean, these are, well, how many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 10 there. So that's, I would say that's our top 10 of our book club books. So, but Planetary, number one on both our lists. I was not expecting you to pick Planetary, honestly.
What did you think I was going to pick?
Probably Aurora West.
It's, like I said, it's nudging out some of my favorites, just barely. Like, this stuff it's tough, but Planetary, it's very easy to pick that as number one. It's incredible, and the kind of thing I wish there was 100 Planetary books.
Yeah. So, Eric, what's our next category?
Why, Robbie, I'm pretty sure it's Best Single Issue.
Ooh. Nominees. We have Moon Knight number 3, that is also known as Ghost Nux. That's the Ghost Nux issue.
You can tell who did the nominations here.
Yeah, well, you didn't. You did not amend it.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I didn't even need to look at which one it is. There are other ones that I enjoy, but that one's, it is uncomplicated, and it works really, really well.
Yeah, we have Bitch Planet number 1. Batgirl number 35, which is the debut of the new Batgirl.
Yes, it is. The one that apparently Robin Rises Alpha is trying to retcon. No! She's where's Teddy Spandex?
Miss Marvel number 8, which honestly could be a lot of the different several Miss Marvel issues. Mm. Looking at them, I think I like 8 the most, but
What? Explain to me what happens in it.
Oh, Lockjaw. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
Lock.
I'm sorry.
Hanging out with Lockjaw.
For some reason,
they're gelling the story and the art even more than it was before, and her characters, you know, coming out more. And Rat Queens number 8 was also.
What pray tell was going in Rat Queens 8?
That's. Oh, what is her name? I can't think of the character's name. The dwarf girl. With the red hair, when she has her, basically tells her backstory of how she left her family, shaves her beard. Like, she's a fashionista, like, she's a fashion model. She wants to fight, and she ends up sneaking into this competition and shaving her beard and leaving her family. And after seeing another female dwarven warrior who's shaved her beard and does what she wants, it's really touching. I wanted Rat Queens on this list. That's the one I think connected me most emotionally. What's out of these issues, Eric? What's your choice?
Oh man, it's really tough for me. I think probably the two most important books of this past year, it's clearly between Batgirl and Bitch Planet. Not that I don't love that Miss Marvel, I have not read that Rat Queens or Wat Queens.
Wat Queens.
Wat Queens. Probably, for me, best and most important, are not necessarily the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Bitch Planet number one really, really worked well. I was very excited about it going in,
mm-hmm.
and it's the best Iconic that I've read to date, and I'm very excited about number two. A late addition to this year, really excellent. That's my answer.
Yeah, I agree. I have to agree with you. I really wanted to Ghost Nux. I love Ghost Nux so much. Yeah, and Batgirl, Miss Marvel, Rat Queen's all great, but best Bitch Planet number one is like, it does so much. And like you said, it's very kind of quote unquote important comic, but as a comic book, it is constructed very well and so much depth and kind of interesting environmental and universe and
oh yeah,
it's squeaked in here, but I have to put it the best issue because it's the one I went back to the most to reread and get more out of.
I am waiting with bated breath for number two.
It's very exciting. It's the kind of comic that makes me want to read comics.
Yes.
It's what makes me come back after reading Robin Rises Omega.
It is pretty much the opposite of that book.
Yeah.
As bad as that is, it is the inversion, if you will.
we're getting all kinds of little Easter eggs in here.
All these little meta references.
So, best single issue, we are in agreement. Bitch Planet number one. Again, we're agreeing all over the place. Let's see how long. I don't think we're going to agree on this next one. What's up next, Eric? What do we got?
Oh, man. This one's just the pits. This is the worst single issue of the year.
Wah, wah, wah. Sad trombone makes an appearance.
Sad. I'm going to high five Sad Trombone. He can walk off now.
Explain why Intersect number one is your most hated comic.
I don't even get to say it myself, but it's God almighty, this book is terrible. I would love to have like read it so I could be fresh coming into this, but it is the messiest storytelling. It is completely unclear what's happening, and it manages to be just badly done and pretentious. You know, if something's well done and pretentious, you can kind of let the pretentious go. This is like, it's not clear what the art is trying to say. Everything is so nebulous and soft. You have no idea what's going on in the art. You have no idea what's going on in the story. Nothing is introduced. And then to top it all off, it ends with like six pages of weird collages of random ass text that this artist slash writer decided was really super important to put at the end. This book is a failed, like, illustration 101 project. I give it an F.
Ooh.
It is so bad. Oh my God.
Professor Goodnight gives Intersect number one.
Yes.
F.
Yes.
A big red letter.
Yes.
I didn't read the nominees, but
you just had to be like, just let it go.
I've been waiting for it since you were so adamant before we started recording. X-Force number one, Bigger Bang number one, New Suicide Squad number five, The Names number two, Robin Rises Omega number one, and Intersect number one. Mine is X-Force number one.
I knew it was going to be. I didn't even have to ask. No. We could honestly talk for another 20 minutes on each one of these books about why they're so bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to hear why they're so bad, you can certainly go back and listen to the old episodes where we read them for floppies.
Yes.
And then we were like, this is really bad.
Don't buy it.
And here's why. Please don't buy it.
Yeah. Oh, X-Force number one. Just craps. We recently have read Uncanny X-Force.
Mm-hmm.
And that book is the second book. They relaunched it as Uncanny X-Force. It was not
Didn't, we didn't put Uncanny X-Force on our list.
No, we didn't.
And I think that's an oversight. I don't think it changes anything.
No, I didn't include it. It was a conscious decision. I don't think I'm as strong on it as I used to be. I still like it a lot, obviously, but. And it doesn't change my decision on Planetary.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it really changes anything.
No, but X-Force number one just shits all over it. Hey, remember that really good comic you really, really like? Let's make fun of it. Let's shit all over it.
The book that's mostly gray and brown.
Mm-hmm.
I think that art really suits the writing in that too, because it's mostly gray and brown writing.
So we have Intersect number one and X-Force number one as our worst single issues of the year. Do not buy any of those comics I listed. Do not. They're terrible.
Probably the best one is The Names number two, and I don't recommend it.
No, I would agree with you. That is the best of that list, and it is still not good. It is bad.
That's, oh God. We paid for all those.
We did. We gave them money.
I know. It's a shame. We encouraged that.
I know.
Fucking horse shit. we're the problem.
We are the problem. Eric, what's our next category?
Hi, Robbie, it's the best book that left us just too soon.
This is our in memoriam section.
I know.
So, we have Larfleeze. She got canceled early in the year.
Yep. I can't believe that it seems so long ago.
It does. A lot of these books, I'm like, wow, this came out this year.
I know, it's so shocking.
Old. But Superior Foes of Spider-Man, and not quite canceled yet, but it's right on the brink. It's about to end.
It's winding down.
Yeah, She-Hulk by Charles Soule. All these, honestly, it's good that this list isn't longer. I would expect it, although I knock on wood. I don't know. Some little book that I love is going to get canceled for no reason. But, I don't know. Spearfish of Spider-Man did go 17 issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terrible.
No.
That it managed to last that long. But I still say that. I think that, I don't know, She-Hulk's really good too.
They're all truly excellent. And I think that it's, I'm not, so this is going to split the way that everyone expects it to split.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pick Superior Foes and I'm going to pick Larfleeze.
Probably.
I mean, and I think that's a safe bet. They're all three wonderful. I had to add Shulky because it's an excellent book.
Yeah.
It's good that you can have a superhero book that's not just about, it's not all about punching. That it's about all the aspects of She-Hulk's character. It's a truly excellent book, and I want to collect all of them. They're wonderful. But God, Larfleeze, come on. I just reread them too. They're ridiculous.
They are.
They're delightful. They're so stupid. Oh man. It is still beautiful. It's still great.
And I Superior Foes of Spider-Man for me.
Yeah.
I could read that book forever. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's still my favorite thing Nick Spencer has ever written. Superhero or otherwise. What's up next, Eric? What's our next award?
Why, the next award, Robbie, is the Saga Award for Saga.
Now, who's going to win this one?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it'll be Robin Rises Alpha.
No, it's Saga.
Oh, well, damn.
I know. I included this because I trade weight on Saga.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really read. We read the first two volumes for Book Club a long time ago.
Mm.
And the fourth volume just got released and apparently sold out in comic stores everywhere. You can get it on Amazon if you're looking for it at the moment. But we haven't had a chance to really talk about it on the show. We both read volume 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's still Saga and great, but I didn't want to necessarily, we haven't really read it for the podcast, so I didn't include it anywhere for the most part, but it's Saga. It's amazing. It's still great. Yeah.
It's one of, last year I called it over and over the most exciting thing in comics. Since then, there have been many, many, many incredibly exciting developments in comics.
Mm-hmm.
Still one of the brightest stars in the sky.
Yeah,
there's no bones about it. It's all kinds of amazing.
Yeah, Brian K. Vaughan can still write very, 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 very well, and Fiona Staples' art is still beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
You want to get your friends hooked on comics that don't read comics? This is the one to give them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's tremendous.
Yeah, it's great. So, with that,
an upset victory for Saga.
Yeah, Saga, the only nominee, wins. Give a nice return handy for Fiona Staples and BKV.
Yep.
What's our next category?
It's the best series from Marvel Comics.
Strong category here.
Oh, it is. These are amazing books.
Yeah, we have Ms. Marvel, Moon Knight, Thor, God of Thunder, / Thor. I included them together.
You can lump them together. I mean,
it's the same creator. It's the same writer. It's a
same team, basically.
Same story. It's continuing a similar story of Thor and his redemption and the
Jason Bushbeard Aaron. I bought you a copy of Southern Bastards, which he also wrote.
Yes.
And his biography at the end of Southern Bastards says, Jason Aaron enjoys many things. Shaving is not one of them.
With our last two nominees, Magneto and Captain Marvel. And I'm including, I think the last Captain Marvel did end this year, and then they relaunched it later in this year. So I'm including, but that's both Captain Marvels, this current run and the previous one as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is a two horse race for me. And I want to say, again, I want to say Moon Knight. I really want to say Moon Knight.
It's tough, but.
But
I think the clear winner is little Miss Kamala.
Yeah, Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel.
Yep. Who stole all of her hearts.
Yeah, it's when I repeatedly say it's the best superhero comic around, I have to kind of, it's
ain't no fun in there. That's the truth.
It's great. And the Moon Knight, I guess, is diluted a little bit by that 6-issue run by Shalvey and Ellis and Belair is, I don't know, it's great, and I really, really, really like it. The issues after it are good. They're not as good.
They're fine. They've managed to take not even a C-tier character, like a D-tier character, and make him one of the most exciting books of the year. I mean, every issue of Moon Knight, pretty much without fail, we were just I nearly almost said over the moon for God. We were over the moon for it.
That being said, Miss Marvel, like,
oh God,
it's hard to understate the quality of it. It's so well put together. The art, the writing, so great. I'm G. Willow Wilson's X-Men story is coming out soon. I think even next week. And I'm very excited to read her writing other characters, but Miss Marvel.
Mm.
Yeah. Best Marvel series. Great.
May it run for 100 years.
Yeah. It's on, it's CBR's top book of the year. Saga coming in number two.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh no, Macho Man's running the stage and he wants to announce this next category.
What?
Oh yeah, the next category is the strangest issue of Avengers I've ever seen. That's saying something. Oh yeah.
Macho, come on, you can't do this.
He's in man panties. He can do whatever he wants.
I guess that's your
pink
manties.
Man panties.
Some manties. Only one nominee. It's
who will it be?
It's the 100th anniversary issue of Avengers number one by James Stokoe.
The Stokoe
doing what he does.
Doing weird shit.
Telling a story with Rogue and Brother Voodoo and who's the third character in that? Oh, why can't I remember?
You already said it was the guy that Brother Voodoo was Doctor Strange, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh God. It was Beta Ray Bill, wasn't it?
Beta Ray Bill, you're right, yeah. So yes, taking those three characters, telling an Avengers story in the future with Stokoe's crazy art.
And the disembodied brain of Tony Stark.
just telling us, it's delightful to have that story in the Marvel Universe.
It was the only good 100th anniversary special issue.
It was.
Certainly that we read.
I think we missed one of them, but after seeing those other ones, not.
No, Stokoe managed to take a bad concept and make it work. Where everyone else failed. Everyone else is like, let's do more technology in the regular story. Uh-oh. This is terrible.
Isoko embraced the idea fully, and I think that's why it was so good.
Or he just put it in Orkstein.
That's true. That Avengers, that planet, that Earth Avengers universe is in Wonton Soup somewhere.
Yes.
They just have to land on that planet, and you'll see Rogue and Beta Ray Bill fighting Moloids or something. I think this is a very special category for you. Eric. I need you.
I know.
You should give this the love and attention it deserves.
Well, yes, Robbie. This is the best book to fill the gaping hole in my soul because I want more Battling Boy.
Another one nominee category with The Rise of Aurora West.
Volume one, even.
Yeah. Yes. We want more Battling Boy. We got A Rise of Aurora West. Amazing book. Great. Great, great, great book.
Yeah, God. Tremendous. Just so delightful.
I could read Battling Boy stories forever, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a universe that's just ripe. I want it to become what Hellboy has become.
Yeah.
I want there to be a Battling Boy verse where, you know, Paul Pope just hires different creative teams and tells stories in there. Come on, Pope. Do a Pope verse. Do it.
Yep.
Come on, Paul Pope.
Pope verse.
Pope verse.
Pope verse! Hey,
yeah! Rise of Aurora West fills the gaping hole in my soul. Our collective soul.
Oh my God.
That was good. Come on. That was good.
No.
What's our next category, Eric?
It's the best series put out by DC Comics.
Detective, the best comics from Detective Comics Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually.
What's the first book, Robbie?
The first nominee is Detective Comics. First nominee, Detective Comics, specifically the Buccellato and Manipal issues. Those are the ones I certainly have in mind. The ones they didn't work on are not nearly as good. Other nominees, Batgirl, Gotham Academy, the Geoff Johns and John Romita Jr. run on Superman, the new volume of Teen Titans, mm-hmm. and Sandman Overture. which is on Vertigo, but we'll throw it in there because that's what we do every week anyway.
Yep, that's our cheat.
Yeah. What's your answer, Eric? What do you got?
Gotham Academy. No bones about it. These other books are great. I get excited. Almost as excited as I get about Miss Marvel, about Gotham Academy. It was a shock to me that this even exists. And it's shocking that DC is taking notice of demographics changing and making books, I don't know, that aren't for brain dead idiots. This book is wonderful, and I cannot wait to read more of them.
No, I'm in full agreement with you. I really like the new Batgirl a lot. I really like all these series. Same in Overture, even if it came out, what, 3 times this year?
Mm-hmm.
God, 3 issues in a year.
It's a breakneck pace. Who's the holdup? Is it J.H. Williams?
No.
Or is it wouldn't Gaiman. Surprise me that it's Gaiman, but.
It's Gaiman. He took the blame for it.
Okay.
He said, I got real busy.
I had to take a lot of baths this year.
I'm gonna ask you a question, Eric. I just want you to guess off the top of your head.
Okay.
How many pages do you think Jim Zub scripted last year? The entirety of 2014.
Oh my God. You mean actual comic book pages, not script pages, which could be more or less.
Yes, he went on Twitter on New Year's Eve because he was trying to hit a specific number, mm-hmm. and he even clarified that, yes.
Okay, so actual 22 pages, roughly equal to one issue. That's what this is.
Yes.
Oh, Christ. I'm gonna guess way under. I don't know. 500.
1,000.
I was gonna guess 1,000, but I'm like, that's ridiculous. There's no way.
He did his thousandth on New Year's Eve.
Jesus Christ.
Specifically to get to that number. Jesus. Neil Gaiman, take note.
Yeah.
I know you're a busy guy. You can't be busier than Jim Zub.
Mm. He 88 pages in a year. Yeah.
But Gotham Academy. Oh my God. Yes, it's got me excited about a DC comic. I think that's the greatest.
Not just a DC comic, but the DC universe.
Yeah.
Because it's so steeped in Batman lore. It makes you care about Batman. I mean, same thing with Detective Comics, same thing with Batgirl. There's been so many bad Batman books for so long. You just don't want to read it. These are great. But Gotham Academy is the shining star of DC this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's so good. I'm reading it regardless. You know, it's something I would read even if we weren't reading it for a podcast.
Yeah.
It's very, very good.
Yes.
Next up, what do we got, Eric?
Why, it's the best quote unquote indie series.
Ooh. Nominees. We have Copperhead, Southern Bastards, Rover Red Charlie, and Rat Queens. And of course, obviously I could throw in Saga in here, but
yeah,
we didn't read it.
We didn't read it. It's stiff competition.
It is.
Because honestly, I know I would pick my favorite out of this even over Saga. Even mm-hmm. over Saga.
Yeah.
That's how much I love this book. The other, I think, notable omission, and I think I understand your reasoning behind it, because it's only a single issue, not really a series yet, is Bitch Planet.
Yeah.
I completely thought about it. No, I agree completely with your decision to leave it out. If there were 2 or 3 of them, then I think it would be debatable to throw it in there. But
yeah.
All of these are more established. All of them are tremendous. Only one of them, I mean, goddamn, gets me right in the feels. And that's Southern Bastards, which is quite possibly... it's tough for me to say what my absolute favorite book is. But this might be it. I think we're probably going to end up this podcast with me actually having to make that call. But Jesus Christ, this book gets me. Oh my God. What do you think?
I've not read the entirety of Southern Bastards.
You will.
Yeah, I will.
You will.
You will be. I'm going to say Copperhead.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
I did not think you were going to go that way.
Yeah, I was really grabbed by it.
Copperhead's really amazing.
I'm very excited. I like this comic a lot more, way more than I expected to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I look forward to. Oh, we have Harvey coming into the award show.
What's your favorite book, Harvey? That's right. It's licking the floor, falling off the counter.
It's his little string. Come on. No, Copperhead is amazing. Harvey had to come in here and back me up on that.
Yes.
All these books are great.
Yeah.
Came onto the scene and grabbed my attention in a way that I did not expect. And it's one of those books I look forward to read every time. It has not let up at all. It has kept my attention. I love the art. I love everything about it.
Well, I think the same could be said for practically every
yes,
one of
that's
his
true.
Books.
Yes, precisely. And several others that I didn't include because they're elsewhere and covered in other ways. And I think next year, this is Bitch Planet's category to lose, honestly. What's our next category, Eric?
Why, Robbie, it's the best use of a costume change to prove that women buy comics.
Yes, this is the category might hint to who's going to win this one.
Possibly.
It is Batgirl's new costume, designed by Babstar and Cameron Stewart. Right when that creative team was announced and they show the new costume, like, the internet exploded.
Yeah, there was a quake in the Tumblrverse.
And that attention has carried over to this comic book, and people are raving about it. People who typically not necessarily are going to read superhero comics are reading this comic because it's like well written and about a woman, and her costume isn't that costume we saw in Robin Rises.
Yes, it's not. Yes, it's not booby spandex.
Yeah. It's so popular that someone's already imitating it with Spider-Woman.
That was really my main reason for putting it in here, is this is going to set off an explosion of women characters dressing a little differently. I really see this is going to set some things off here.
I hope so. I certainly hope so. It's a trend I hope does continue.
Mm-hmm.
Having good costumes. Well, that's not
just like I know I've said this to you many times, like, I don't have a problem with sex and sexiness in comics. I just think that you have to be pretty clear if a character is a character and not an excuse to draw TNA, then you should treat that character as a character and think about what would he or she do if they were a real fleshed out person the way that you're supposed to when you write something.
Yeah. That is a novel thought, hey.
Yeah. There we go.
What's our next category, Eric?
Surprise! It's the biggest surprise of the year.
Ooh, yeah. Macho, get off the stage. Take the mic from him. He's pretty strong, even dead.
He is. He's a strong zombie.
It's our biggest surprise of the year. These are the books that came out of nowhere or were more than we expected from them.
Yeah.
We have Rubber Red Charlie, Wild's End, Shudder, Starlight, Multiversity, and Gotham Academy. And what you said about Gotham Academy is maybe swaying me that direction. I don't know.
I think it's a good reason to be excited about DC Comics. I don't think anyone wants to hate them, but hey, I don't know. But yeah, it's a surprise to love a DC comic book, to just full on love it when your tastes are like ours, you know,
well,
when things be written.
When they seemingly go the other direction from where we want things to go, and then suddenly, boom, hey, this book that is everything you want.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. But for the past 2 years, you've been beating me with a baseball bat. Why would you suddenly just give me a present like this? It's like, what do you want something from me? Oh, you want my money? Yes.
To have a demographic that's going to grow.
Yes.
Yes. To open up.
Exactly. More audiences? To more people? Yeah. Yeah, crazy. I was so ready to say Rubber Red Charlie. Because that as a concept.
Yeah, who saw that coming?
It doesn't, like, make any sense to me.
Dude, how does Wild's End make sense?
That's why I included it. Like you said, Winnie the Pooh meets War of the Worlds. It's so...
Multiversity actively tries to not make sense.
Starlight, I put Starlight in here because it's a Mark Millar comic. Lately, Mark Millar comics have been...
He's been kind of absent.
Look how insane this can get. How much hyper-violence I can include.
But what is the last thing? We've not read anything by him other than that. Have we?
Well, Millar?
This year.
Nothing new.
That's what I'm saying. No, I have not seen a lot of new work other than this Millarverse book.
There's other things that, I don't know, I could have picked. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously book club books we can pick that.
No,
very,
clearly, you know, yes.
Kick-Ass 3, I have not, we could have read that. That was coming out. I have no interest in Kick-Ass 3 at all.
No, I did not particularly enjoy Kick-Ass. Did not think it was that great.
No, and the stuff he did in Kick-Ass 2, I was just like, I'm not interested in 3 at all. Like, and that's the stuff. Like, it's very exploitative storytelling. And this is pretty absent of that. It was just Goran Parlov, which, you know, we saw in Nick Fury Max.
Right.
Doing beautiful work. Millar being reserved and telling an interesting story. Shudder, I just wasn't expecting that book at all. Like, it's fun, kind of adventure-y, fleshed out universe with a female protagonist, I guess.
Yeah. I'd say very in the vein of Saga.
Yeah.
Very much so. But not, you know, not badly done in any way. Very good book.
No, but I think you swayed me. Gotham Academy is, I think, the answer here.
Yes. 2 points for me.
We're keeping score?
We are. It's called Life, Dorman.
Oh. Well, Eric, I didn't want to have to pull this on you, but I have a Thor frog statue.
I know.
So that gives me like a million points.
That was the one that talked your fiance into buying it for you.
I know, she told me. Yeah. Hey guys, I got a throg. It's awesome.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So Gotham Academy, best. Our biggest surprise. Surprise! So here, Eric, it's time to kill our darlings. What's the next category?
Well, darling, It's the overall best new series.
Murderer's Row here.
Yep.
Miss Marvel, Southern Bastards, Moon Knight, Gotham Academy, and Copperhead. How do you pick one? Dear God.
It's true. It's really true. And Southern Bastards is clearly the most important book to me.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks deeply to who I am. Like, you can read the introduction by both Jasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's Aaron and Latour, right? Latour is his name.
Correct.
And you'll just have to read it. I will try and get you the copy I have for you, very shortly. But I just deeply in my soul, I feel what they're saying. This book, they made it for me. Rather than voting that, I have to go with the most important book on this list. And that is Miss Marvel for best new series of this year, because, oh my God, this book. As much as Southern Bastards is like deeply personal for me, Miss Marvel is something that belongs to everyone and is amazing and is exactly what we need more of in modern comics. It is amazing. So that is final answer right there.
Best new series, Miss Marvel. This is a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go Moon Knight.
Oh man, an upset.
Think about Moon Knight. I don't know. It's kind of contrary for me to pick Miss Marvel as the best Marvel series, and then mm-hmm. go Moon Knight best new series. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'm just kind of splitting my vote there.
Maybe
Moon Knight. I really, really appreciate. I mean, yes, there's tons of goofy shit in it, like Ghost Nux, which is just fun and dumb and really just interesting in how crazy it is. But that the craft shown.
Oh Lord!
In those books,
it's comic books done damn near perfectly
with in. Warren Ellis letting Declan Shelby and Jordy Belair flex, basically.
Yeah.
And tell really, really great stories with their art. Like, I keep thinking about that issue with the mercenary who's taking people out one by one. And as you progress page by page, mm-hmm. you know, their little headshots disappear as they get shot. How each different issue tells a completely different story with a completely different kind of almost genre.
Yeah.
And
no bones about it. It does so many things so well. As we said, takes a D-list character and makes one of the most exciting books of the year. I mean, I completely understand why you say it.
Yeah. All these books, every single one on this list, you should buy every issue of.
No fooling.
Yeah, go pick
without,
up. Go look,
without exception.
Go read all these books. They're all really good. They are some of the best things in comics right now. Go read them. They are great. So, we've gone from the high highs. Miss Marvel and Southern Bastards and Moon Knight, Gotham Academy, Copperhead. Some of our favorite books of the year. What's next, Eric? What are we doing next? Something great, right? Something great.
Why do, Robbie? It's the stupidest event ever!
Some tough competition here.
This year has not been a good year for events, has it? Specifically, yeah. Marvel's been shit in the bed on their events.
Yeah. Our nominee is Forever Evil, which managed to be nominated both last year and this year.
Hooray!
Hooray. Original Sin and Sixus.
Sixus.
or Axis. Rachel and Miles have started calling it Sixes as well, Eric.
Yes.
I don't know if they heard it from us, but I think it's just a thing in the zeitgeist now. But because that logo is bad,
it's pretty poor.
Yeah,
it's pretty poor.
Oh my God, these books are all terrible.
This is a tough call.
It is.
Because my gut was just like, I just wanted to be like, oh yeah, Original Sin. Because, like, we were drinking the Kool-Aid for a minute there, and then we're like, wait, this is awful. But I start thinking about the setup to Axis. It's stunning. It's Marvel almost unlearning all of the lessons that they've learned over the past couple of years about how to make good, rich comics. And let's make it dumb. Let's make it about adamantium sentinels and the Red Skull taking over Charles Xavier's brain.
That noise.
Yes. Exasperated gasps.
Only one of these has made me, like, scream for about 3 minutes about how stupid it is. But no, it's Axis is the worst. It's... I don't know if you are following this at all, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened in the second to last issue, I believe, of Axis, which I did not read. I saw this online, and then all the hubbub about it, and there's quite an uproar, where they have retconned Magneto, as he is no longer the father of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, of Wanda and Pietro. He is now not their father.
Can you see the face that I'm making?
I can see it. I was looking at it.
Did you see the face I was making when you said that?
Yes, I did.
It was very pained.
Yeah.
I wish that I could communicate it over radio. Do you know the sound that Harvey Keitel makes at the end of Reservoir Dogs? That's what I hear inside my head right now from what you just said.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, it's, like you said, it makes me want to avoid, I am a Marvel guy. I've been a Marvel guy my entire life. We generally have been more complimentary about Marvel comics in mm-hmm. general on this podcast, and we are not afraid to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
In general, because they generally are more progressive in their storytelling. But this is completely backwards. This whole event, everything about it, terrible, stupid, dumb, awful storytelling, characters that make no sense, poorly explained, no rhyme or reason.
And how do you get this out of Remender?
I don't know. I mean, but Original Sin was written by Jason Aaron.
Yeah.
He also wrote Southern Bastards.
Yeah.
He also writes Thor, God yeah. Thunder, and the new Thor, which are amazing comic books. Very, very good. I don't know. And Remender's all his indie work, Deadly Class. We haven't mentioned much of it, but in Black Science, all those very good books. They're very yes. interesting. I don't know. I can't explain it. But I was reading Tom Brevoort, who's one of the head editors at Marvel. I was reading his Tumblr and answering questions about people who are angry. They're upset about Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch and Magneto, that whole thing. They're like, why are you doing this? I feel likewise. Why are you doing this? Quicksilver is one of my favorite characters in the Marvel Universe. I love the fact that he's Magneto's son. I like that a lot about his character, about why he is what he is. And it's basically impossible not to see it as a move reflecting the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where they do not have the rights to Magneto. Yet Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver will be in Avengers 2. Mm-hmm. Magneto will not. He will be in the Fox X-Men movie. Now, Nick Fury, the whole Nick Fury Jr. thing was dumb. I completely agree. And as transparent a way to have a black Nick Fury in the mainstream Marvel Universe. But they don't use him. He's not in any comics. Quicksilver I have a personal connection to Magneto. I really don't. It makes me angry in a way that I, in that obsessive nerd way. And
let your nerd rage flow.
Yeah, I don't. It makes me not want to read any. Like, I'll read Ms. Marvel. I'll read Moon Knight. I'll read Elektra. I'll read Black Widow. I'll read all these solo books with one characters that don't get tied into these terrible events that make me not want to read. They're doing what DC did that make me want to read DC comics. It's disgusting. With all the good they're doing, they do this. Make Tony Stark. You know what? We need a reason to make Tony Stark before he was Iron Man. Let's make him that way again. Let's not try and tie it into any meaningful character development. Let's just make it so that some weird magic stuff happens.
A wizard did it.
Yeah. Scarlet Witch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there we go. Axis. Sixus. 9 issues of garbage. It's longer than the other two, even though Forever Evil took forever to come out, but.
It was aptly named.
Yeah, for. Sixus, worst, stupidest event ever. And this, we may have to vote in Sixus next year. This, just for good measure.
Just to get some stank in its eye.
Yeah, the 9th issue came out in 2014. I may have to just go, well, yeah, it's still so bad that it's still worse than anything that's happening this year. Spider-Verse is fine.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine.
Not the dumbest thing I've read.
No. So what do we got next, Eric? Let's try and exercise some demons.
Why, Robbie, it is the best continuing series. A series that's continued.
Thank you. Thank you for that explanation, Eric.
Yes. You're welcome.
Yes.
Wink.
Wink. I've included Saga on this because it felt wrong not to, but the previous caveat, I think, still covers it. Otherwise, Rat Queens, Pretty Deadly, which it's crazy to think that Pretty Deadly continued under this year. I don't know if we should count it or not, but I threw it on there. This is the hardest one to think of books, because we don't have necessarily read a lot of books that have been continuing, so to speak. And then, finally, I know you haven't read this, but I have, and I threw it on there, too. Cobra.
Oh, right. I realized, as you said that, what it was.
No, it's...
The one-man show.
One-man show. Putting out an issue a month. I'm gonna say Rat Queens.
Over Saga, really?
I haven't read Volume 4 of Saga.
Fair enough.
So I...
Does that mean I have to abstain? I've not read any of these. Except for Pert Deadly.
You read an issue or two of Rat Queens.
An issue or two?
Yeah. Well, they're actually... Rat Queens has not actually put out a bunch of issues this year. They've had some production delays, and then recently, we've discussed at length the problems. But I'm going to say Rat Queens. I think when they're doing their thing, I use the word best, and then we kind of waffle back and forth if that means favorite or not, or best, or this. Rat Queens.
Go for it. Go for it. I say Saga.
Okay.
There's handy. Handies all around.
Handies to Saga and Rat Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Big old handies.
Woo!
Again, these are all great comics, but continuing series, this is, I think, we haven't read a lot of the, mainly because, one, floppies, there's more, I think, more demand for number one issues, early books, people are more interested in those, like, they know what Hawkeye is, they know what Sex Criminals is, they don't necessarily need to hear what we think about Hawkeye number 20, it's gonna be good. So that's, and we're going to cover that in our next category, Eric. What is this? What is our next category?
The next category is the best book we didn't read on the podcast. I don't know what that
That's
was.
Fine. So these cover a lot of books that obviously are making year end lists that are very, very good. But we don't really necessarily read them unless maybe we'll do a book club of, you know, collected volumes eventually, which we probably will do very shortly with Saga and Sex Criminals Hawkeye whenever it finally ends, actually ends. Manhattan Project probably has enough volumes we could actually do a chunk of them. But, yeah, Hawkeye, Sex Criminals, Saga, East of West, and Manhattan Projects. These are all very, very, very good books. Fraction, BKV, Hickman, plus Fiona Staples, David Aja.
That's some talented folks.
Yeah, some really great books. Here, this is where I'm gonna say Saga. Saga is great. And I've read volume 3. It was great. I am getting Saga volume 4 tomorrow in the mail. I will read it as soon as I get it. It is my choice, but all these are very, very good comic books. It's things we don't necessarily read on the podcast. I think things that we know are good and are worth buying and trade, I generally say, for book club. So I think we can get a little bit more in-depth discussion about them. What do you say there, Mr. Goodnight? Professor Goodnight?
I don't know, bro. I don't know what the professor thinks. I want to read all these. I think the one that is the no-brainer that I'm upset I haven't read yet, and I would already own a copy if it wasn't sold out, is the Saga. I am a little torn up that I don't have it yet, that I haven't read. It's the one I want.
Yeah.
It burns us. It frees us.
All great books. All of them are on your end lists of some form or another. We hardly recommend all of them. And probably Saga will be doing volumes 3 and 4 for book club within a month, I imagine. So there is that. And a lot of these Sex Criminals, as soon as the second trade comes out, Hawkeye probably smooths it. It's literally issue 20, like they might launch the new Hawkeye number 1 before the Matt Fraction's run on it ends. So I don't know what's happening with that, the production of that book. It's supposed to come out soon, but we'll see. Another very tight category, Eric. Hotly contested.
Who's going to win this year's Jordi Belair Award for the best colorist and the most colorist?
Nominees are Jordi Belair.
And no one else. No one else. She colors everything.
She will not. She is the only nominee because she's the only colorist on Earth. That she will not allow anyone else to color books.
Yeah, she's just like, she's like a playground bully. She just runs around, punches other colorists in the face, like, now I'm coloring your book. She sounds just like that.
She does amazing work. Everything we read, it's staggering. Like, I do not look for it. It's just oftentimes, like, we are reading on floppies and I go, oh, 3 books this week colored by Jordi Belair, and they're all amazing.
Yeah. She's got good taste in projects. She's certainly doing the ones that appeal to her, you know, as an artist and as a reader. And she works her ass off on them.
Yeah. She's down. I've mentioned this before. At one point, she was coloring 17 books at the same time. She's down to like 10 now, or 7 or something along those lines.
She's like retired now.
I know. It's like, oh, I'm only doing 7 or 10 books. Oh, that's easy. God. She said she wasn't sleeping. That's not good. You need sleep.
That's what being an artist is. It's not sleeping ever.
So, Jordi, congratulations, Jordi Belair. Enjoy your handy.
It's even named after you.
It is named after you. You got a handy award named after you.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we got our two categories to end the show. First, what do we got next?
It's the best writer of the year.
Again, Murderers Row here.
Jesus Christ.
We got Jason Aaron, G. Willow Wilson, Matt Fraction, Kelly Sue DeConnick, and Warren Ellis.
That silence is the pain we feel.
Yeah, we're like, I have to go with...
No, I know.
I know. Who's your answer?
Only Jason. only Beardy McBeardy. He gets me right in the feels. Oh, my God. Southern bastards. It just gets me right there. It's amazing. I love Southern Bastards. And everything else has been tremendous as well. Just well crafted and surprising and just, I don't know. For my money, he's the best writer on this list this year. And that's saying a lot. Every one of the writers on this list has done an amazing book this year.
Yeah.
An incredible book. But Southern Bastards in particular is something that I will be reading for the rest of my life. So that is my answer.
Yeah. I'm going to say Kelly Sue. Bitch Planet number one is the best comic book she's ever written.
Yes, it's the best Kelly Sue.
Captain Marvel continually delights me.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoy Captain Marvel Space Adventures. Bitch Planet number one doesn't come out. She's not my answer. But it puts her over the top for me. And like you said, everyone on this list, Warren Ellis is my favorite comic book writer of all time. He is my favorite writer. I have read Trees 1-7 when there is no discernible action.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because I trust him. And Jason Aaron has done great work. G. Willow Wilson, we've sung the praises of Ms. Marvel. Matt Fraction has consistently performed Sex Criminals, Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
Just covering completely, genre hopping. Insane. And Kelly Sue also, Pretty Deadly came out earlier this year as well. And that's certainly part of it. But Bitch Planet number one is an accomplishment. I have to pick her. We have Jason Aaron, Kelly Sue as our respective best writers of the year. And lastly, but certainly not leastly,
it's the best artist for 2014.
Nominees. I'll read them and then we can give some caveats, I guess. Adrian Alfana, Francis Manipal, Michael Del Mundo, Declan Shalvey, Steve McNiven, Babs Tarr, and James Stokoe. Again, no David Aja, no Fiona Staples on this list, but we really haven't read them. At least on the podcast. So I haven't included them. And frankly, we could probably pay, if we included Fiona Staples on this award every year, she'd probably win every year.
Not for me. Not this year.
Really? Okay.
No.
Who wins? I think I already know, but you go ahead. You're the artist, Eric. What's your answer?
Who do you think it is?
I think you're going to say Adrian Alfano.
I am. I put Babs Tarr on there because I wanted to say Babs. And as I'm reading this list, I'm like, no! Adrian! No, God. No, Adrian is killing it. And it's the kind of work that gets me excited about art, that gets me excited about comics. It's glorious. It's amazing. I loved these Ms. Marvel books. They're all kinds of great. And that's that.
Yeah. We've sung the praises of how good Ms. Marvel is, but and nothing against, what's the other guy's name? The non-Adrian Alfano art is
yes.
Good. It's good.
Yeah.
It is not as good. It Adrian Alfonso's art is great, and it is perfect for that comic book. That being said, I'm going Declan Shalvey.
Not surprised.
No, I know you're not.
I think we've basically done this by the numbers.
We have. But I enjoyed his work beforehand. Moon Knight has got him finally recognized. And like I said, the crux of the storytelling in that book was the art. It did it in such a way that it reminded me how good purely art visual storytelling can be without hundreds of text bubbles on a page with exposition. Everyone on this list is great. I included Michael Del Mundo, a name we haven't mentioned much on this podcast. I really have enjoyed the Elektra books.
Mm.
We recently read one where, much like the case of Ms. Marvel, Michael Del Mundo does an arc and then someone else takes over. Del Mundo's art is beautiful. And the reason I buy that book, when he's not doing it, it's not as good. And I wanted to at least mention it on here. I really, really like, he takes a lot from J.H. Williams III, honestly, with that kind of weird layouts and stuff like that. I really think that sells that book to me. Francis Manapal has, his Detective Comics art is gorgeous. McNiven, I think his name speaks for itself at this point. Stoko is, he's the Stoko.
He's the Stoko.
Yeah. And Babs Tarr, she is probably third behind Shalvey and Alfano on my list, but that's a good list. That Batgirl art is, again, perfect for that book.
Mm.
It works so well.
It's the book born on Tumblr.
that's our award show.
That Alamo. Sure was a lot of handies. I'm getting tired.
What are your overall, this is the new year. What are your hopes for 2015, Eric, in comics world?
Oh, God. Let's hope that at least one more issue of Overture comes out by the end of the year. it is a very exciting time in comics. Things are getting not just more adult in quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
Not just more violent, not just more grim, not just more serious, but more like literature, more like human beings, more telling stories that matter. It's an exciting time for the art form, for the medium. It feels like such a cop out to say more of the same, but the things that have been the most exciting are the things that we expected the least.
Yes.
You know, we could have easily put Ms. Marvel on that list of most surprising books.
I almost did, but.
Because I remember when you and I were talking about the preview we read about a Muslim American, that's not a nationality, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
A Muslim American superhero. And we were like, holy crap, why hasn't that story been told? And it got told, and it's incredible. It's flat out amazing. It's one of the best things ever. I don't necessarily think that, just representation for the sake of representation makes a book good, but all these things seem to go hand in hand. Is people who care about these things and people who demand richer stories and better storytelling. And that's what we need more of.
Yes.
More varied and interesting art styles, varied and interesting rich characters.
More Ms. Marvel, more Gotham Academy, more Batgirl, more things like that. More interesting news, more New Knight, more Copperhead, more Southern Bastards, more unique viewpoints, unique perspectives, good writing, great art. all those things. I certainly hope for better events. I hope for stories that aren't solely rooted in reflecting what's happening in the movies. I hope that more comics that make me happy and less comics that make me angry.
I want you to be angrier.
Well, I always be angry at you.
Good. Fuckhead.
So yeah, folks, I think that'll wrap up the second annual Handsome Boys Handies Awards. My God, two of these. This year's flown by. I will say that.
You're kidding. This stuff feels like forever ago.
That's what I mean. Doesn't seem it. Time has been distorted.
Yeah, it'll do that to you.
We're already
call Stephen Hawking.
We're getting closer and closer to episode 100. I don't know what we're in what we're doing there, but
we're gonna have a free for all. We're gonna wrestle.
Oh, good. I get more and more excited to do this show every week. I'm all you guys listen out there. Really appreciate it. This is a good time, and I'm hoping for bigger and better Handsome Boys as well as all that other stuff. So next week, folks, we are doing Southern Bastards. EF4 mentioned Southern Bastards. I think it's 6 issues out right now. The first trade is 4 issues plus 2 additional issues. I am anticipating a really great discussion about this with us two old Southern boys like ourselves.
Yes, yes. Good old boys.
Yeah, that's just me and you personified.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. Southern Bastards, Jason Aaron, Jason Latour, the Jasons. Looking forward to it. We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You can find us at handsomeboyscomicshour.com. Find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on your podcatcher of choice. Please rate, review, subscribe. If you like the show, really helps us out, helps us get new listeners, helps new people find us. Really appreciate it. You can contact us at Facebook, facebook.com/handsomeboyscomicshour. Like us there. Follow us on Twitter at HBCHour. Tweet at us there. Excuse me. I've lost track. You can email us at handsomeboyscomics@gmail.com. Any of those places, please reach out to us. We'd like to hear from you guys. Comments, complaints, suggestions, criticisms, compliments. Any of those things. Love to hear it. Can find me online at Twitter at MixmasterCereal, MixmasterCereal. Eric, where can they find you online?
You can find me online by pointing your browser at freewillunlimited.com, taking a look at my portfolio. You can see most of the things I get up to online, including my Tumblr and my Pinterest, by going to ericzgoodnight.com. And you can tweet at me. My Twitter handle is Mr. Bad Example, spelled MR Bad Example. Bam.
Boom. With that, folks, we call it a day. Have a good one.
Rock and roll.